warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. One Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan with my co-host David Niles in the studio.
Hello.
Dave, I'm really excited about this episode because I have like a lot of stories I want to tell. So I've only been able to like, I was like, before we started, I was going, I'm only going to tell a certain amount. Otherwise it'd just be gather around for Adam story time. So we're not going to do that.
Which could be cool, but...
but probably wouldn't be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It depends. Some of your stories have been good.
Others have bombed.
So others have just been like, okay, cool.
Yeah, let's
cool.
move on.
Cool, bro.
Let's move on.
Do you feel better? That story was for me.
Not for you, but for me.
That was not for you. That was for me.
Well, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we actually had an email recently with a new listener from Kentucky, where by Buffalo Trace Distillery, which is pretty awesome.
Totally.
Because he said he'd send us a bottle of Buffalo Trace because we had a hard time getting it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
So he's going to send it to us. But if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We have the ceremonial Viaggi candle lit.
It burns before us.
It burns before us. But the three things we do, this segment, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight a man gear in the second segment. And the third segment and fourth segment, we have the most manly discussion of all time on terrestrial radio and on podcasts.
Yes.
And any other way to be able to listen to it. I'm not sure any other ways, but...
I respond in the affirmative.
So we've won, once again, this week, the most manly podcast award. That we give out.
Yep, we give out the award.
So, this is the segment where we open a man beverage. And today, courtesy of Juan Posada, who's in studio with us this evening, we're really excited to have Juan, as always. We're having a rum, not just a rum.
It's a Venezuelan rum.
A Venezuelan
good
rum.
Good luck getting it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But we're really excited to have it. It's courtesy of our buddy Juan.
Juan, is it all one word?
Diplomatico.
Diplomatico? It's not diplio, it's just diplomatico.
Diplomatico. Diplomatico.
With a dude, with a sweet stash.
It's a special reserve. It says it right there, special reserve.
Reserve exclusiva.
And it's exclusive reserve.
Yeah.
So I
speak Spanish. I don't know it, but I speak it.
Very interesting. Can you give me a little bit more?
I should say I read Spanish.
Not very well, but
better than you though.
That's not true. Just because one word does not mean.
I feel like
I took like 4 years of Spanish.
That's makes it even worse.
Okay, so anyway.
Thank you, public school system.
Yeah. So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus and our mother.
Iu bensium Jesu.
Jesu. Not Jesus.
I think it's just Jesu. Yeah.
Which is cheers to Jesus.
Yeah.
The color is a dark amber color, mm-hmm. rum. It's very delicious.
Yeah.
It's a very sweet caramel rum. It's not like a normal rum that I like.
It's not like Bacardi.
No.
Well, you can tell it's made with sugar cane.
Yes.
That's really, I think, the big difference. Sugarcane has a very unique... Sugarcane is a powerful flavor. Like, sometimes it's overpowering. I've had some other rums that are made from sugarcane. And in Brazil, they make this rum called cachaça.
Cachaça.
And it's also sugarcane. But every single one I've had is kind of like, whoa, that is sugarcane.
Mm-hmm.
And it at first, like the first sip, if you have a big sweet tooth, you think, oh, that's pretty good. But then after a couple more, for me, it just started to get like, ugh, this is really sweet.
Yeah, a little too much.
Yeah. But so you can definitely tell that there's sugarcane in here. This is not overpowering at all. Like,
no.
Like some of the other stuff I've had.
And it's not overpowering as far as in the after. You know, Captain Morgan has this really strong pow in your face finish.
Yeah.
That's very rum-esque. I don't know how else to put it. I'm not a rum connoisseur. But mm-hmm. when you finish it, you're like, yeah, this is a rum.
Yeah.
This one is much smoother. In my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, also, I think that you were on a quality scale. We're talking about different ends.
Right. We're talking
different ends of the spectrum.
Right. I agree. I'm not a rum connoisseur.
Neither am I.
The only other time we've had rum on the show that I can recall was with Trent Horn. We had Trent Horn on our show.
Right. So, and that was a rum and Coke.
Yeah. And it was a rum and Coke.
Totally different. You would not want to use this in a rum and Coke.
Absolutely not.
This is a sipping. Good.
This is almost like, it seems like is this like an after dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After dinner liquor. It kind of almost a dessert liquor. I bet it helps with the digestive system as well.
I would like to raise a toast to the country of Venezuela and to all the people there. May you all achieve the freedom you seek and live the life you deserve. Hey. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you guys. I don't know if we have any listeners in Venezuela. I don't recall seeing any, but
maybe.
Maybe this week is the week.
This could be it.
But we have Venezuelans in the U.S. listening.
We have
Venezuelans in the U.S. listening.
There you go.
Including Mr.
Juan Posada himself. Yes. Dave, coming up, the End of the Breach conference. I'm super pumped about it.
Totally.
We have finalized all of the logistics of it. We've finalized the how to do it on the back end of the website with all the streaming capabilities.
Totally.
It's cmfp.org.
CMFP, which is Catholic Men's
Fellowship of Phoenix.
Good. I'm glad you're able to finish that because
yep.
I knew the first two letters.
But anyway, so we're going to be there. We're going to be there at the conference on February 2nd. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to be able to interview Bishop Olmsted, Archbishop Chaput. Chaput?
Yes.
Chaput.
Like slap you.
Exactly. And Hector Molina, Father Sean. I mean, there's a ton of guys we're going to be able to interview, which I'm super pumped about.
Yeah, man.
We're going to record some of them and give it as a special content for the Council of Man.
Yeah.
Which is going to be just awesome. So if you're a part of the Council of Man, get ready because we're going to have a lot of extra content coming up soon.
But it's the first weekend in February. Mm-hmm. Just throughout the day, Adam and I will be live streaming at cmfp.org.
Go there. Yep. On the day, February 2nd, we'll be streaming. And check our Facebook page out.
Or, yeah. We'll have links.
Yeah, we'll have links to get there. But we're really excited about it. This is going to be a great opportunity. We have a lot of guys in Phoenix that listen to the show. There's going to be well over thousands of people there, 1,000 men getting together, sacrificing a Saturday to be growing closer together in the Lord. We had a full episode with Patrick Coffin recently on men's conferences. You can go back and check that out. That was really good. And then, Dave, man, we have a busy schedule because after that, 2 weeks later, we're going to be in Wichita at the men's conference there.
And we're actually speaking.
We're a featured speaker right before Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, because that guy is going to just do awesome. I've listened to him speak several times and he's awesome. I don't want to follow up with him. No. I'd rather just let you know, be the intro act.
if it does turn out that we're after Deacon Burke-Sivers, it'll be clear that we're brought in to be the fall guy.
Right. Yeah. But we're really excited.
Somebody's got to go out. Let's hire some saps.
Yeah. These guys don't know what they're doing.
Bring some people in who they can take the hit.
Right.
They don't know any better.
So I'm really excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about authentic friendship, authentic male friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be a great conference.
Totally.
I'm excited to really get going on our speech.
I'm sure it's going to be epic.
And then after that, a week or two later, we're going to be at the Oklahoma Men's Conference. So you can go to CatholicMen.net if you're in Oklahoma listening right now.
Also doing some live streaming.
Doing some live streaming over there.
Hanging out with our man, P-Dog.
Yep, Patrick Coffin.
Mr. Trent Horn.
Yep, Deacon Pollo and somebody else. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a good lineup. It's a really good lineup this year.
CatholicMen.net. So anyway, we're going to be very busy. We're going to have a lot of extra content over the next, month or so. We haven't actually had any recently for the Council of Man as far as extra interviews, but let me tell you, our calendar is a little overwhelming because we're going to have a lot coming up. So if you're thinking, what is the Council of Man? We have a lot of things on our website on thecatholicmancho.com, blogs, our episodes, extra links, discounts to other Catholic companies.
Totally.
All free, of course. But if you're thinking, how can I help support this show? You can go to the COM button or the Council of Man on our website and become a council member. And what that is you donate $10 a month to help us continue running this show in order for us to continue doing the things that we're all talking about doing. Mm-hmm. And in return, we thank you with a Glencairn glass of the Catholic Mancho Glencairn glass.
Laser etched.
Yes. And extra content, like we said, this private Facebook page that is just awesome. That's just turned into such a blessing for us. Anyway, go check that out if you'd like to. We'd love to have you part of the council. If you are a council member and you're not in the Facebook page, shoot us a Facebook message because we'll get you in there.
Yeah.
When we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan, a.k.a. The Tongue. We are once again joined by our friend, Mr. Juan Posada, seated comfortably in the peanut gallery. Thanks for being here, man. We also want to give another shout out to one of our other Venezuelan Council of Man members, Mr. Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
I believe,
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, we didn't get permission to give his full name out.
Yeah, we don't.
It's just kind of spur of the Pablo, you know who you are. The council knows who you are.
And we salute you.
Yes. Anyway, since we're drinking the Venezuelan rum,
right?
We thought we might mention our other Venezuelan Council of Man member.
Perfect. Before we get into the gear, I want to tell a story.
Okay.
So I went to Portland this week.
Yes.
I went to Portland. My in-laws are there.
Still alive.
And I'm still alive. I made it. Flew there, flew back, all kids, everybody's still good.
Right.
Shout out to my...
And still Catholic. Okay.
Everything is good there. If I wasn't Catholic, that would be very awkward.
Yeah. I'd beat you up. I feel like that's a legit reason to beat up your best friend.
That'd make for an awkward show, but...
It would be.
Maybe people would like to hear it. Anyway. Shout out to my mother-in-law, Shelley, and Haley, my wife, because they took me, the night that I got there... on the best date night ever. If I could draw up a date night of what I would want to do in a selfish way, this is what it would be.
Are you saying you went on a date night with your wife and your mother-in-law?
No, I went with my wife and my mother-in-law helped pay the bill.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to clarify because
that'd be very
not
weird.
Really an ideal date night.
No,
I wouldn't think.
No. So the Portland City Grill is where we went, which is on the 32nd level. Downtown Portland, and it's all windows, so you get to eat dinner and just view the city, which is very beautiful, right on the river. And then we went to a place called Whiskey Library, which if you're in the Portland area, you need to go there. It is phenomenal. Okay, so you have to, on a Wednesday night, we had to wait. We had to get our name in there and wait on a Wednesday night.
Wow.
And the reason why is because you go upstairs to the actual loft area, and they don't allow very many guys in there, or people in general. In there, because that way they don't want it to make it feel like it's a bar setting. There's plush leather couches everywhere, all wooden decor, you know, very manly. Guy, old gentleman portraits all across.
But does it smell of rich mahogany?
It smelled very good. I don't know if it was rich mahogany or not.
Okay.
But two full walls were nothing but whiskeys. I think there was this, a little segment of other spirits, but the majority of it was whiskeys.
Yeah.
And so we sat down, and I'm just like system overload excited, trying to figure out which whiskeys to get. Haley said I took over 30 minutes trying to figure out the three whiskeys that I was going to try on my flight. Because there was a lot, you know, and they had a lot of unique whiskeys there. And when you had that opportunity, you want to make sure you capitalize on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I tried the Dalmore Cigar Malt, which is awesome. The Bowmore 15 Year Darkest, which was delicious. I actually want to get a bottle of that here. I'm not sure how much it costs, but. And then a Laphroaig 16 Year First Edition. Only like 270 bottles were ever made of this.
Wow. How was it?
It was really good. I wish all of them were really good. I wish that I had a little bit more of a pour of that Laphroaig. You can go to my Instagram page. I posted a picture of it, but it was not cheap, so it wasn't like I was able to. And then we went to the biggest used bookstore possibly in the country after that. And they had a huge section of Catholicism all broken out by like even by popes. Like they had its own sections of Pope's writings.
Wow.
That's how big it was. So it was just system overload for me. It was so much fun.
That does sound like a good evening.
That was my date night.
Okay.
So anyway.
But we need to get to the man gear.
Okay. Very good.
And this is yours. So I'll let you introduce it.
Okay. The man gear is a carabiner. I think that is a very manly thing. A carabiner is used for many things. What made me realize that we've thought about doing this before. It's like one of those things that we thought about doing and
yeah,
forgot.
Sort of like a really manly keychain sometimes. Like sometimes
yes. You put yeah, your keys a lot of people use them in that sense. What made me think of it is that Haley and I, whenever we were first dating, we actually went rock climbing quite a bit mm-hmm. together. That was kind of like one of our initial dating things that we did.
That's back when you were young.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
At Oklahoma State, they have an indoor rock climbing gym. And so we were able to...
There's a brand new one here in Tulsa.
Yes.
Right off the BA.
Our buddy opened it. Jason.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Jason's the one that bought
it. No kidding.
They're like, yeah. Anyway. So that was a lot of fun. Like that was something that Haley and I did together. It was something unique. Got us good exercise. And then we would go out to outdoors. There's actually a place... outside of Tulsa that you can go rock climbing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun. We use carabiners there.
Yeah.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
so anyway,
I kind of, most of the carabiners I have, they all have the disclaimer on the side that says do not use with climbing. And I always wish like, man, why do I have all these fake carabiners?
Yeah, those are made more just for like utility purposes. Like
yeah, like to hang stuff on your backpack or whatever.
Right.
Really, there's a lot you can do with the carabiner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like a lot. The uses are maybe endless. Maybe.
I don't think that's true.
I think if you lived long enough, you could reach the end. But that's yet to be determined. Okay.
At least by you.
That's like how many licks does it take to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop? The world may never know. Okay? It's the same thing with the carabiners.
Philosophy time with David Niles.
Yeah. I'm trying to put it in terms that people will understand, okay?
Like, yeah, because we're so deep, it's very hard for people to grasp the words that we're saying. Like, we got to dumb this down a little bit, right?
People get popsicles, all right? You get it. You know.
It's not a popsicle. It's a lollipop.
It's a lollipop.
It's not. That's not the same thing.
You're right. But also, yes. This is why the world may never know. There's a lot of confusion around the topic.
At least by you. but so, yeah, a lot of those carabiners have the little screw. Like whenever they clip, they actually have it screwed to make sure that it can't open again.
Yeah.
It stays locked. Most of those are used for rock climbing.
Yeah. And they're also made of a better metal, I think.
Yeah, a higher grade of metal.
I've wondered, though, like, what happens if I do go rock climbing with this thing? Huh?
Well, you may just be putting your life in jeopardy.
That's kind of what I thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do it. Also, yeah. I just haven't gone rock climbing.
You've never been rock climbing at all?
No, just like in a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been rock climbing.
Okay. Haley and I used to, like, we had like our own gear, shoes, everything.
I was more into rappelling than the climbing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's more, that's a lot easier, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, it's way easier. I just wasn't very good at the climbing part. I mean, I was very average.
One time we went to New Mexico when our buddy Eddie worked Philmont.
Yeah.
For the scouts, and he was down there, and we'd been working to rock climb and learn, you know, really work, get into shape, because man, it is something you have to get in shape for.
Totally.
Otherwise your forearms and your legs will be burning like crazy. Uh-huh. So we'd been working all summer trying to get there, because there was this like 150 foot face that we were going to climb, and it was like a 10.4, I believe, which is harder than beginner. You know, it's not a expert level, but I think it'd be equivalent to maybe a black diamond in snow skiing.
Isn't that a pretty...
There's like double blacks, triple blacks.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was tough. It was a tough one. And it's very long.
Yeah.
Tall, very tall. So stamina was key.
Totally.
And there was one time where I had to get a carabiner, because I was leading. So when you lead, you're the one clipping the carabiner up into the anchors.
Yeah.
You're clipping them in there and feeding the rope, you know. And so anyway, so I had to get to one that was actually inverted out. So I had to jump outward to get there. So I literally had to jump out, grab, and clip in one motion. If I fell, I was just going to fall like 8 feet down, because that's where the next anchor was.
Yeah.
So I jumped, grabbed one hand, clipped on the other, and hung by the carabiner, like suspended in the air for like, I don't know, probably like a second and a half, 2 seconds, and then was able to grab.
I would love to see you try to do that today.
Oh, dude, I would flop like a fish.
Yeah.
Out of water. I mean, it would not be. I was a little bit more athletic back in those days. I'm not a... Not as nimble as what I used to be.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It happens to the best of us, man.
Right.
I mean, I'm the same way.
let's maybe bring into really quick what a virtue is out of the carabiner.
Utility, like versatility, I mean.
Yeah.
You can just do so much with it. It's dependable. If you have a real carabiner, you know, mm-hmm. like that's the thing that's going to save your life.
Right.
Okay. You're really counting on it.
Right.
Okay. Men need to, you know, be dependable in the same way, especially for their families.
Right. Good one. I mean, very similar to a lighter when you're going out in the wilderness, something, it needs to be dependable.
Yeah.
It could save your life.
Uh-huh.
Carabiner is one as well.
Kind of, it's not like the flashy rope. Everybody looks at the rope when you're going climbing. Oh, the rope.
Or the chalk bag.
Yeah, the stupid chalk bag. Give me a break.
Dude, no, those things are crucial whenever you're climbing those tall faces and your hands are getting all sweaty.
Like a real man punches new holes in the rock, okay? They don't need no chalk. You think, come on.
No, dude, those are crucial. That's crucial.
But the carabiner, he's just there in the background, just saving your life. No big deal.
Yeah. So, anyway, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man topic. I'm excited about this one. I think it'll be good. It's up to you whether it's not.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the break. Those are some of our sponsors. If you're listening on the radio, support them. If you are listening via podcast, welcome back from that 15 seconds. Feel like I needed to welcome you back. I don't know why. I don't know why everybody seems to want to welcome people back on the radio. It's just what they do. I don't know.
I don't know either, dude. Like, you're looking at me like, like, you know, with this look that says, come on, what's the answer?
You don't have it.
I don't know, dude.
Okay. Well, let's recap really fast. Our man beverage today is a Venezuelan rum. What is it again? Diplomatico. Diplomatico, a special reserve or exclusive reserve via Juan Posada.
I like exclusive.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay. We just got done
talking. It's just a cool word.
Fair enough. We just got done talking about the carabiner as the gear. And now the next two segments is the main topic. So today, I thought the main topic could be, and this actually, the topic was birthed, I guess, by some of our Council of Man topics that we've had on Facebook. The topic today is how to grow in holiness with your wife. How to do things together that would stimulate a spiritual growth. Maybe I think we could go into if she is Catholic, if she's a non-Catholic, if she's a non-Christian, if she's a lukewarm Catholic. I don't know. It seems to be a slow buildup of men taking their faith more seriously. I think it's a kind of underground movement still, or grassroots movement.
I've noticed this as well.
And so it seems like some of these men are, maybe they were, you know, they got married and they weren't strong in their faith. And within the last few years, they've really taken grasp of their faith and really started living out their faith.
Yeah.
And in that process, a lot of times, the person that you're married to isn't on, maybe on the same ride, but isn't accelerating as quickly as you are. Or maybe they're, you know, maybe you're halfway through this journey already and she's just now starting her faith journey. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios, but I thought maybe we could talk about a few things that we do together, you know, with our wives and maybe what, you know, I thought that the obvious thing to do is to start a prayer life, you know, have a prayer life with your wife. I think that's the obvious thing.
Yeah.
I think that if you asked mainly anybody else, like, what should I do to grow in holiness with my wife? The first question would be, what's your prayer life like with your wife?
Totally. Yeah.
And so I don't want to really hang out like,
and how intimate is it?
Right. But I don't really want to go on about that too much. Cause it seems like it's been said.
Not because you want to avoid it, not because it's not super important, because it is probably the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But just because
it seems like that
everybody talks about that.
Right.
Right. I mean, aside from that, what else?
Right. So the only thing I do want to say about the prayer life is I think that the best way to start, if you're trying to start a prayer life and you with your wife and you're maybe awkward at times, you know, vocal prayer is sometimes awkward. You don't know exactly what to say sometimes. You don't know how she's going to respond, or should I talk or pray? Should she pray? You know, what's the transition?
Who talks first? You talk first. I talk first.
Right. Exactly. So I think the best thing to do, if you've never prayed with your wife, I think it's a very intimate thing to do, and I think you should start. But I think the best thing to do possibly is start in a silent prayer. Just be in silence together, praying together.
Mm-hmm. To me, I think if it's awkward, that could be even more awkward. It's like, hey, let's just sit here in silence together. I mean, so if that works for you, excellent. But, you know, like, don't... If you have a spouse who's not on the same page with you in your faith, I think it's important, don't force anything.
That's very true.
You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
And I think you should take the lead in prayer. If you think it's awkward to pray out loud, that's okay.
Like, embrace the awkward.
Yeah. And you have to be vulnerable with her. I think especially women respond to vulnerability, not because like they want you to be vulnerable, but you are. I mean, every man has vulnerabilities.
Right.
And so just sharing those honestly with her, I think is a big step. A lot of growing spiritually, I think, is growing just as a person with them day to day. And then like, oh, and I'm Catholic and this is making me a better person. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of that going on, but,
Well, and a lot of times vulnerability, creates intimacy.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, it becomes, by you being vulnerable, it yields intimacy.
Right. Because now you're finally saying, hey, look, here I am.
Right.
This is
me.
This is me in all my weaknesses and all my strengths.
Right.
Like it's a true, if you're not showing your vulnerabilities with your wife, then you're not showing her your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And so you shouldn't be afraid of that.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. So I think that's something we can put a period on. I think that's a good ending to that, mm-hmm. unless mm-hmm. you have anything else you want to say.
No, I mean, I've got other things I would say, but not about prayer specifically.
Okay.
More generally.
So I'm going to bring up something that Haley and I decided to do this year. Just something new. We haven't done this before, but I thought it would be very... I actually wanted to just see how it would go. You know, we tithe on a regular basis, and one of the things we decided to do was let's split up like a lump sum of what we were going to tithe 1 month. Let's just say it's $100. I'm going to take $50, and you're going to take $50. And you get to decide what charity you want to donate that $50 to. And then whatever charity you decide to donate that $50 to, we're going to go and volunteer, you know, for a day at that charity.
Yeah.
And so what that does is, and then I do the same thing. My $50, I pick a charity, and then we volunteer at one of the charities that I pick. And what that, I think that does is it breaks down, it makes it specific. You know, Father Brian O'Brien talks about being specific, being a specific Catholic,
mm-hmm.
And making it intentional.
Yeah.
And I think what it does is it breaks down some of these barriers of preconceived notions about the faith in general, and it's helping other people. And God can use that opportunity of helping your neighbor to show himself to her and to yourself and to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is you're showing her that you care about some of the things that she cares about.
Yeah.
So what we do is you pick the charity, and then we're going to go volunteer over there. And we're going to do it for a day. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to grow together, you know, and I we did it already once, and I think we were laughing a lot. You know, I mean, it was just a good time together.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to do mine here in a little bit too. And so anyway, I thought that would be a good idea to do with maybe somebody, maybe for a man whose wife isn't super involved with the Catholic faith. Maybe mm-hmm. she's nominally Catholic, or maybe she's thinking about becoming Catholic. God can use those moments, and you never know who she'd meet during those moments. You know, friendships that could bud. You know, you never know what could happen in those moments.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's important to get across the, hey, my Catholic faith is why I'm a better dad now, why I'm a better husband now. You know, so if you're out doing work with the poor, you know, let's say you're volunteering at Catholic Charities. Well, and, you know, she might think, wow, this is really great. You know, so now she knows, well, the reason I'm here is because I'm Catholic. My Catholic faith, you know, kind of drives me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really good. And doing the whole like volunteer thing, like you talked about, it also just is a kind of a motivator to volunteer at all.
Right. Absolutely.
Because I think a lot of people, you know, like, I know for volunteering at Catholic Charities, I kind of have my semi-annual visit, you know, and it's like, and I feel good about it. And
you know, it's interesting. Every time you finish it, finish volunteering, you're thinking like, I need to start putting that on my calendar just to do, because it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing it.
You can take the kids.
Right. And I like doing it.
Mm-hmm. So I go like twice a year, and I think like, yeah, I'm such a good person.
Yeah.
Volunteering Catholic Charities, you know.
Right.
But that's not the way it works. So mm-hmm. having something like that where you know, making you volunteer on a regular basis, that in and of itself would be great.
Right.
So I think one of the important things to do as men is to set the tone for the culture of your home. Okay. Because you're the captain of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's up to you to set the tone. One of my favorite quotes, and I have no idea who said it, but I just think this is brilliant. When it comes to culture, it's a quote of, the beatings will continue until morale improves.
That's not a quote I thought you would have said.
It just has nothing to do with the topic. I just think that's so funny. The beatings will continue until morale improves. Okay.
That's the tone you're wanting to set?
No, that's not the tone you should set. That's just funny. Okay. That was just... Okay, that was for me.
Okay, that was for
you. That one was for me.
Okay, now...
Okay, so just...
for them.
Setting the Catholic... let's just say you have a wife who's not Catholic. Okay, she knows you're Catholic, you know, blah, 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 blah. She's kind of... The attitude is like, you can do your thing. I'm just... It's not my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do it. So, if you... I'll finish this on the other side of the break, because... It's not something I was about to finish in 5 seconds.
Okay, so hang in there, because we're going to keep going with this. I think it's going to be a good finished topic here in 12 more minutes. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Juan. Cheers to you, Juan.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, talking about how to be a good Catholic, especially when you have a spouse who is either non-Catholic or just not an excited Catholic.
You know? Maybe stuck in a rut.
Non-passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking their faith as seriously as, you know, maybe you are. That kind of stuff. So I was talking about setting
a tone.
The tone of culture. Okay, so if you have a wife who's like not really excited, maybe they just say they're not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, hey, I want to do this Advent stuff. And like, you know, like, come on, let's do this.
Or Lent starting
Lent
soon.
Lent stuff, yeah. I mean, they're going to kind of maybe not be excited. Like, well, you know, I'm not... You can do that with the kids, you know.
Right.
Don't bring me into, you know. So I think you got to make sure that when you do stuff like this, they know that you don't have any like, I'll do it. You mm-hmm. know, I'm not asking you to bear the responsibility or, you know, have to put in a lot of effort, you know. So, because they really need to almost be a bystander to sit there and watch you do this with the kids or do it with whatever and... So that they can kind of observe the beauty of what you're doing. And I think that beauty really, once they see, like, you know, if you're starting these traditions or something, there is a beauty there in just the day-to-day living of the Catholic liturgical season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you try to bring the liturgy into the home as much as you can, that it will have an effect. You know, it's just that there's a beauty there and it's attractive.
Yeah, and it's not as, like... It's not as hokey.
Right. It's very real.
It's very authentic. Authentic. I think a lot of times it's really tough to not be, it feel cheesy or hokey, trying to bring religion into your home when maybe that religion hasn't been a major pillar in your home because, mm-hmm. you know, all of a sudden you're like, oh, let's pray, you know, really fast before. And it's like, we're just about to leave. Why are we praying before we leave? You know, like, I don't know, just sometimes it can feel weird.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It definitely, it can definitely come off that way sometimes.
Right, so I think that, especially if they're going to Mass with you, even if they're not Catholic or maybe not participating or something like that, they're getting a double dose, right? They're getting it at Mass, the liturgy at the Mass, and then if you bring the liturgy into your home with Lent and Advent and ordinary time and feast, you know, saints, feast days and things like that, mm-hmm. It's more real. It's a I don't know, realism. I don't know if that's a word.
I think realism is definitely a word.
I don't know if I used it right.
I think it's an adjective that describes a specific type of art.
Okay.
Or something.
Okay. Well, I think they understood what I meant.
I think so too. Yeah.
Go ahead. Were you about to say something?
No.
Okay. Juan made up a good point that I'm glad he brought up because I thought about it and I wasn't going to mention it. And that is making sure that you have other good Catholic couples that you can go hang out with.
Yeah, totally.
I know that my wife is a better Catholic. She said this before. She's a better Catholic mom and wife because she hangs out with your wife and Joan.
Yeah.
Juan's wife. Uh-huh. You know, so they're able to get together. You know, they have the Bible study. Typically when we're recording, they're getting together doing a Bible study. Mm-hmm. You know, they just hang out together. So they're able to help each other grow in their faith as well. So I think that that's an important thing to do.
No, I absolutely agree. Yeah, because I've heard it said that you're basically the average of the
five people
you spend the most time with. And so, I mean, think about that for yourself as well. Who are the five people you spend that much time with? And I think Patrick Coffin, I don't know if it's a commercial I heard of that he did.
No, he did it on our show.
Was that on our show? I couldn't remember. But he said, is Jesus one of those five people?
Right.
You know, like,
Good question.
Yeah. Don't know.
Right.
Probably not.
Right. So I think that's a good start. I mean, and that way, and you don't have to do anything like specifically Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times we get this pressure of like, okay, well, I'm going to hang out with these other Catholic couple. I don't know. What should we do? Something that's Catholic. You know, mm-hmm. just have dinner and enjoy company. You don't have to like do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they say like a prophet has no honor in their own home. Mm-hmm. I think some of that applies to your spouse as well. It's not quite the same as trying to convert your brother or your sister or a family member because that's almost impossible.
Right.
But a spouse, there's definitely some of that. You definitely don't want it to feel like you're forcing, you know.
That's true.
It needs to be so passive. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs, first of all, it does. It needs to be their choice. You know, when they embrace the faith, it needs to be their choice. Mm-hmm. It needs to be them embracing it, not, fine, I'm out of obedience, I'll be Catholic, you know. Right.
That's a great example because Haley, you know, is a convert. She came into the church and I was very passive about her coming into the church. Before we got married, she came into the church. Once we were married and she was at church, I was like, okay, you ready? Apologetics time. You know, I was starting to hit her with all this stuff, apologetics. And she was like, I don't really like whenever you try to, you
know, lecture me.
Lecture me. And I was thinking like, no, this is just good conversation. Let's just talk about it. You know, and I realized that's not what she's
wanting. It's a very one-sided conversation.
It's not like how I was expressing my faith was not in the right way.
Especially when you were making her take notes. I mean, that was
And give a presentation at the end.
Yeah, like a book summary. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, hey, I want to make sure you get it.
Yeah, you better have been listening.
Right. So I think that as guys, we are very, you know, once we dive into something, we're typically gung-ho about it and we go maybe too far at times.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that we need to make sure that our wives are like, they learn a certain way. And you can't push a different way on them to try to teach them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they need to know. And you could just tell them like, hey, you know, nothing would make me happier than for you to become Catholic with me. And like, but it's, you need to do it for yourself, not for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need to know that. And I think one of the most powerful things you can do, whether this is your wife or anybody, is just being able to explain the beauty of the faith in your own life. Like, why are you Catholic? Why are you Christian? You know, and if you don't have an attractive answer, then it's going to be tough to get people to buy into what you're doing.
Right.
You know, you should be able to say like, here, oh man, like my life is totally changed. And with the relationship I have with Jesus has changed everything.
The relationship that I've had with Jesus, the deeper I've gone into the relationship with Jesus, the deeper all of my other relationships tend to get.
Right. Yeah. I am a different person now. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the beauty I have found in the faith mm-hmm. and in the church. And you should be able to get that across. So especially with your wife. I mean, if she doesn't see that beauty coming forth in you, then nobody else is. Nobody else will. That's,
right.
That's for sure.
That's absolutely true.
But let's say we just got a couple minutes left. What about someone who has a very Catholic wife? Mm-hmm. You know, how could they grow?
One of the things that we really love to do is celebrate feast days, saints' feast days. And totally. Not just like, oh, it's their feast day and talk about it. Like, we go all out. Like, on JP2's feast day, we bake a cake. Mm-hmm. You know, and our kids blow out the candles.
Yeah.
You know, on
We do that for Mary's birthday. We make
Mary's
her birthday cake.
On I'm starting a tradition. I think we've talked about this before with St. Joseph's feast day. I'm going to get my boys a toolbox for St. Joseph's feast day. Uh-huh. And each year I'm going to buy another tool for them to put in their toolbox. And they're going to learn about that tool each year. Mm-hmm. So that's something I am going to do starting this year. So incorporating the beauty of the feast days that the church has given us, I think is a great way to take your Catholic life to the next level with your wife mm-hmm. and family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's great. Just something else would be celebrating the sacraments together.
Yeah, or adoration, getting an adoration hour together. Yeah, that's possible.
That's kind of tough.
That's really tough.
It's hard to do.
I also want to mention...
If you have kids, anyway.
Yeah. I also want to mention that you have to be patient. As men, I think we get impatient at times. Mm-hmm. And maybe that our wife's faith life isn't in, like hurrying up as fast as what we really want. Are we thinking, man, just things aren't working out. Like she's not getting it. She's not doing, you know, what else should I do? I'm praying, you know, St. Monica prayed for 30 years for St. Augustine, mm-hmm. you know, before his conversion. And St. Paul talks about, you know, if you're praying for your wife, you know, there's good deeds that are happening through you to her. There's graces that are happening through you to her. Mm-hmm. So I think that you just have to continue staying the course, you know, run to win the race. Don't get discouraged if it's not happening on your time, because it's ultimately God's time.
Right. Yeah.
And that's something that when I've talked to other guys before, that they've really almost become discouraged or fallen into despair that it's never going to happen. And that's just not true, because Christ loves your wife more than you love your wife. And Christ wants to have a relationship with her more than you want to.
Yeah.
And so if you just continue being that good example and continue being that instrument in which grace can flow from you to her and keeping that door open, then through time, in time, in God's time, that will happen.
Yeah, I think that if you just absolutely love her like crazy, you know, like you should all the time. And if she knows that, hey, you know, when I, the day I became Catholic, I became a better husband. If she knows that, then it is only a matter of time before the door opens where she says, hey, you know, why don't we talk about this whole Catholic thing? Or she wants to come to Mass with you, something like that. It's inevitable.
Right. So anyway, I hope that helped you guys. I know that it's been great for me.
Love your wives, buy them flowers. She deserves it.
Thank you, Juan, for the drink. Our gear was a carabiner. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.